to a special Modern Times beer showcase episode of
Brutal Battle. Yeah, so usually the title sounds weird just because usually it's brewing company, so we can say like, well, in this example it would be like Modern Times Brewing Showcase episode, which just sounds more normal, but
more normal?
This is Modern Times Beer Company, which is what they're called, and not a lot of companies name like that. And actually, not a lot of companies name their brewery for the reason that Modern Times did. And we will get to that at some point.
Teaser.
But this episode ended up coming about. I really wanted to do it. Rebecca was out one day, and I was like, would you mind swinging by the liquor store and picking up some Modern Times beers if you can? Because they just showed up in Maryland for distribution, maybe as much as 2 months ago, but around us in our county, just like maybe a month ago, maybe not even. So I know I kind of said something about that on one of our On the Shelf episodes. It was very recent because we had a Modern Times beer on that. And that's what got me thinking, man, I really like Modern Times. I want to do a showcase for them. So Rebecca picked up four beers. We're going to go through those. And yeah, hopefully everyone enjoys it.
That's when I was out when I was like, I need to buy ingredients to make a Manhattan.
Oh, yes, that's true. And I said, well, if you're going that way,
yeah,
can you hook this up? So she did hook that up. So, as Rebecca needs with every one of these episodes, we're going to start with a beer.
I need the beer.
You want to hand me your glass,
except
Rebecca?
We're normally record at night. We went out during the day and had some beer and pizza, and I'm full from that.
Well, that'll happen when you drink beer and then you drink beer again. You can get full.
I'm too old for this.
Are you too old for this? Or are you just the right age? Because honestly, like, the nice thing about doing how we're doing is that we're staying at home. Which is, you know, an old person thing to do as we're getting old. So anyway, the first beer is Fortunate Islands, obviously by Modern Times. They call it a hoppy tropical pale ale. And it is 5% alcohol by volume. Now, one of the things I love about Modern Times is they put a lot of additional information on their cans. And they do almost solely do 16-ounce cans. I know they do some bottles, some 22-ounce bottles. But yeah, it's mainly just 16-ounce.
I've only seen the 16-ounce cans. And yeah, all their cans look like exactly the same except colors.
Yeah, basically. And on here they have things like the SRM, which is actually, I forget what it stands for, but it's basically the color rating of the beer.
Okay.
So this is an SRM for the IBUs, obviously International Bittering Units, tell you how bitter it is. This is at 40. And then Final Gravity, which kind of, it's more of a brewer's thing, which kind of helps you in determination of what the alcohol is going to end up being. And that's 1.008. I'm not going to go through it on all of these. But I will go through the next portion. They have the hops and the malts listed, which I love. The hops in the Fortunate Islands are Citra and Amarillo, very popular hops. And their malts are Wheat Malt, Two Row, and Caramel Vienna. So they're calling this a hoppy tropical pale ale, but originally when it was out, it was called a hoppy wheat. I think this is one of those instances of rebranding for the craft beer community,
yeah,
because they would, you know, latch on to something like this more than hoppy wheat, because wheat beers aren't hot right now, really. I mean, beers with wheat in them, people are good with, but calling out the wheat, people are not that interested. All right. It looks pretty orange, actually. Like,
yeah,
yellowish orange.
Yellowish orange.
Yep.
A little haze.
Yeah. Slightly hazy. Not a crazy amount. Not crazy hazy. Ooh.
It smells
awesome. I think I've had some Modern Time beers here and there throughout my lifetime, and I think this was the first one I ever had of theirs.
Really?
I don't remember it smelling this vibrant, though. They may have changed the recipe. Oh my gosh.
I'm kidding. So right now our house smells like fish, because
yeah,
we had fish for dinner the other night. And I feel like I stuck my nose in there, and at first I smelled fish.
And you're like, man, this beer is fishy as hell. That's terrible.
So,
no,
I had to sniff my arm.
It smells like Citra hops.
Yeah.
It smells strongly of Citra hops.
Right.
I mean, sure, tell me Amarillo's in there, but Citra is very distinct, and it's super strong with the Citra.
It smells like, it's not like over the top, though.
No. No, it's like a nice strength. It's like, oh man, that smells really good. Like it's, I get a little bit of that wheat note in the finish of each sniff, but it's mainly like that very citrusy, nice hit up front.
Right. And it's
tropical.
It's right. And what I'm trying to, I'm like trying to formulate my thoughts and you keep seeking like, yes, that. I mean, you can smell it and you're getting all those tropical notes, but you know, it's not an IPA.
Right.
Cause you're getting that wheat on the back end. So
I feel like the nose is a mix of like grapefruit, orange and pineapple kind of with that little bit of wheat on the very end.
Grapefruit, orange, pineapple. Yep. I could. Yep.
Yeah. It smells really awesome. Love that smell. Mm. Flavor?
Flavor has me wanting more.
It's dialed back a lot from the aroma.
Nice mouthfeel.
Mm-hmm. It's actually kind of refreshing on the finish because it's got kind of like a light.
What's the ABV on this?
5.8?
Five.
Okay. Straight up. So yeah, pretty low ABV.
It's a nice, easy to drink. I wish there was the nose... It's deceiving because I'm not getting as much citrus as I want in the taste.
I get it up front a little bit, but this is at this point, this beer is 2 months in the can, which it should still be tasting pretty nice. It's got a little bit of that cereal note on the finish, which I believe is coming from the wheat in there. And I just feel like it's like a lingering wheat and bitterness at the end, which is mainly just what's hanging out. And a lot of that citrus, which I said we get a little bit up front, is kind of going away. And it's just that bitterness and wheat. Mm.
It's okay.
I like it. I don't love it.
Agreed.
Yeah, and one of the problems is the nose sets you up for like...
failure.
Well, in a sense. It sets you up for something that it will not deliver. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's if the nose was a lot different, I wouldn't feel as let down.
Yeah.
And it is still good. I do like it, and I will drink more of this for sure, but...
Expectations, you know?
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Okay,
so why are they called Modern Times? Inquiring minds want to know.
Right, yeah. So, first of all, they originally opened in 2013, and this was a Kickstarter project.
Oh, yeah.
It was one of those breweries. There was... I don't think it's really happening as much now, but there was a phase some years ago where a lot of people were trying to kickstart breweries and get money. So this was one of those. They ended up getting $65,471 through Kickstarter to help with starting Modern Times. And the person who did that was Jacob McKean. He was the founder, CEO, all that. And when they actually were built, they started with a 30-barrel production brewery in San Diego, California. So, I believe on their cans they now just say San Diego, don't they? Yeah, San Diego. And Portland, Oregon.
Oh, they have two.
Yes. Hmm. Well, that'll come up later. They have other, like, locations and stuff. So, they were named after a utopian community from 1850. There was a utopian community called... Modern Times in the year 1850, which, do you know what, like, a utopian community is?
I mean, in my mind, I think I know, but, like, what is that? I mean, I've heard of the term, but, like, what does that actually mean?
Yeah, so it's kind of like, think about a bunch of the cults that popped up in, like, the 70s during the drug craze. There were a lot of people, like, out in California, Oregon, Washington, like, all up and down the West Coast who... would kind of find this land that people weren't living on and create their own community and be like, look, we're going to make this our own little insular community that's going to be so much more about, like, coming together and peace and love and, like, all that kind of stuff. Like, utopian basically means as close to perfect as you can get when a society is concerned. I guess that
kind of depends on what your version of perfect is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Like, no utopian communities have ever worked.
Right.
I mean, you could argue that they worked for a time, but long term, they have not worked.
So, this was in 1850?
1850. So, it was Modern Times. And they, so Modern Times also ends up naming a lot of their beers after real utopian experiments, they say, or mythological utopias.
That's interesting.
I would assume they went with the real ones first, and then when they kept making more beers, they're like, we gotta mix them up, or find ones that didn't actually exist, but were just kind of like in lore or something like that.
Okay, and this we're drinking Fortunate Islands.
Fortunate Islands, so... When was that one? I assume that was one of the real ones because this was one of their first beers that they were putting out, I believe. So there you go. Yeah, there's a rinse on that. So let me see. I don't have like a crap ton of information on Modern Times since they're only from 2013.
Yeah, relatively newer.
Yeah, the episodes of these that end up going longer are usually the ones where it's breweries that were started in like the 90s and back. Yeah. Like, those are the ones.
Like Dogfish.
Yeah.
Sierra Nevada.
They usually have... First of all, they usually have a longer history with more to talk about, but they also usually have a lot more written about them that I can find research-wise.
I guess it depends, too. Yeah, it could be a newer brewery, but if you've been in the news a lot for whatever reason.
Yeah. So, they have brewery... These are their locations. They have a brewery slash restaurant in Los Angeles, California, and Portland, Oregon. And then it's a tasting room in San Diego. They have a brewery and tasting room there. Then they're going to be opening in the future a restaurant in Santa Barbara, California, as well as Encinitas, California. And then, you're going to like this one, they will be opening a brewery slash restaurant slash cafe slash swim club megaplex in Anaheim, California.
What the hell is that?
Okay, so what I get from that is obviously brewery part, obviously restaurant part.
That makes sense.
Cafe, coffee and stuff, which we'll talk about a little bit later. And then swim club. So I assume they're going to have a pool.
And what else would be you swimming in? Beer?
I know. Well... Or coffee beans, I don't know. But that's going to be in Anaheim, so...
That could be kind of cool, swimming in coffee beans.
Well, it'd smell great. You would smell great when you were done. Wait, what if it's a pool filled with beer? You wouldn't want to drink it, though, unless you're the first person in.
Yeah, interesting. This is interesting.
Yeah, when I read that, I was like...
Outdoor pool, indoor pool?
But maybe... Okay, so it's a megaplex, so it's like one building.
Megaplex.
So it reminds me a little bit of Union Craft Breweries, or Craft Brewing's, their Union Collective building that they started up, where it's like them, and there's like a rock climbing place, a yoga place, a pizza place, ice cream, coffee roaster, and they own it, but they have all those other companies there because they want to make it like a destination spot. So I think that's kind of a little bit what Modern Times will be going for, but... You could view this as their own little utopia.
Mm-hmm.
Get it? Right?
Because
you gotta have a swim club in your utopian society, right?
Interesting.
So, anyway, I thought that was really interesting. So, that said, let's go to the second beer.
Okay.
This one is called Blazing World. This is also one that I've had some time ago. They call it a hoppy dank amber, and it is 6.8% alcohol. The hops in this, get ready to cream your pants. Nelson Sauvin, Simcoe, and Mosaic. That's a strong trifecta right there.
Okay.
And then for malts, Touro, Munich, and Midnight Wheat. So there you have it.
I don't like the... Anytime I hear the word dank with a beer, I'm like, that's a turnoff.
Because you think that it can go kind of like the skunky route marijuana skunkiness type... Yeah, I know.
It's not my bag.
Well, dank used to just be, like, real, like, hoppy and bitter. Like, dank had a lot of connotation to bitter at one point in the craft beer community, but it's kind of changed over time.
Mm.
All right, so let's try this Blazing World.
It's very clear.
Yeah, super clear. And it's amber.
Yeah.
Like a little reddish, brownish. Yeah, it's very... I'm surprised. Like, it's very clear. I don't remember being like that. Ooh, I smell what they're talking about with the dank.
It smells like dirty butthole.
I don't think... I understand what you're saying, but I don't think it smells like that. I mean, there might be. Yeah, I think there is like a slight BO type note to it, which I think is what you're referring to as dirty butthole.
It sounds like broccoli farts.
Yeah, honestly, I could see that faintly. But I get what they're saying with the dank aspect of it, because there is a little bit of that kind of like slight like hoppy skunkness.
I can't smell it. It's making me sick.
I can smell the malts, like a little bit of like a sweet, more roasty malt.
I just can't.
You're going to have to get it together.
I'm sorry, I can't.
You're going to have to soldier forward.
I can't smell anymore. I'll let you do the sniffing, and then I'll go into the tasting.
As I keep sniffing it, though, like, it's starting to... The malt comes to the forefront even more, and I don't know. I'm trying to figure out exactly... It's more like a blood orange type smell to me.
Blood orange?
Yeah. There's like a blood orange type smell in there, but it's also kind of sweet and like
only
a slightly
on the back
bit
end.
Sugary. Yeah.
I mean, you have to keep sniffing. If you can make it past some of those.
But that's what we do. We keep sniffing. We keep sniffing, even when you think you're smelling buttholes. You're sniffing.
Broccoli farts.
That just reminds me. I'm sorry, quick detour. That reminds me of the show Upright Citizens Brigade that was on in the 90s. That's really, really funny. Where they had some guy who was doing this presentation about how colorblindness is a real problem. And someone in the crowd was heckling him about it, saying it's not that big of a deal. So he brought him up on stage and made him wear these glasses that simulate being colorblind. And then he told him to choose between a bag of strawberries and a bag of pig anuses. And said, can you tell which is which? And he picked the pig anuses and started eating them. And he's like, you see, colorblindness is a problem. It's pretty funny.
But hold on. He was just colorblind?
Yes. But that's what's funny about it. It's sure absurdity.
Yeah.
That's funny. But anyway, I think the beer smells good. Hold on. Hold on. As you continue to smell it, you get more of, like, the actual hop character. You get less of the kind of, like, BO and the fartiness that you were talking about.
And the pigginesses.
Exactly. You get less of that. Now, let's see if there's any of that in the taste.
I already took a sip.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's good.
Mm-hmm. Good? It's just, like...
Honestly, I like how malty it is. It's got a really nice maltiness to it. When you say, like, hoppy amber, that's what it tastes like. Yeah. Like, it tastes like a hoppy amber.
I mean, to me, it's just like a meh. Like.
I taste that blood orange I was talking about. It's coming off like that. I taste a decent amount of, like, the malty sweetness. And there's a decent bitterness going on there. So, I mean, really, what's hitting is some citrusiness, a lot of malty sweetness, and decent bitterness. I wouldn't say it's like crazy bitter. It's kind of like medium bitter.
But are you tasting any of the pig anus?
Mm-mm.
No anus.
Do you taste that? Because I do not taste anything like that.
I don't taste any anus.
I like this beer. It's very different from what we as craft beer drinkers are used to. Because how many people are really doing hoppy ambers? The only other hoppy amber I can think of is Trogue's Nugget Nectar.
I feel like that's in a total class on its own.
Why? In what sense?
It's like way hoppy.
Yeah, it's very hoppy.
Yeah. This is, it's okay. I don't know if I need more of this.
I like it. I think, do I like it more? Yeah, I think at the moment I like it more than a Fortunate Islands. As you continue to sip it, like the bitterness builds more, just kind of like sitting in your mouth. And I actually like that because this is kind of hearkening back to the older days of how hoppy beers used to be. It used to be not all about, let's get the flavor of all the hops, but barely any bitterness. This is kind of like, here's the flavor of the hops and the bitterness that naturally goes along with it. And I like that.
So is this considered an IPA? Because on the side here it says IPA.
Yeah, it can be considered an IPA. Hmm. Because of the hoppy aspect and the ABV. So yeah.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. I feel like one beer could be considered like...
I like the bitterness on this.
Okay, well,
TBH.
You do.
I like it. The maltiness and bitterness, I like it. It's nice. Digging. Okay.
That's all you.
Moving on Modern Times. There's a really cool quote in here from, I believe it was Jacob McKean, saying, our core lineup focuses, and he says non-monogamously, on aroma-driven, complex, flavorful, session-ish beers. So I guess nothing like crazy ABV. We often brew hybrid styles, combining the features we like from established categories to create new Island of Dr. Moreau style mashups.
Hmm.
Are you familiar with the Island of Dr. Moreau? Okay, so it was a story originally. It's been a movie as well, which was a total train wreck. This will be another side tangent. But the story is about a kind of scientist who gets into genealogy and starts splicing genes of, like, animals together.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he does it with humans and animals. And he basically, like, creates this island of, like, animal-human hybrids.
Yeah.
And it's about how things go terribly, terribly, terribly wrong. So there was a movie.
Who was in that movie?
Fairuza Balk, Val Kilmer, Marlon Brando were the big ones.
Yes.
And people, you've got to check out the documentary of it. I believe it's called Lost Souls or Lost Soul or something like that. You got to look it up. It's a documentary about the making of that movie, Island of Dr. Moreau. It destroyed the career of Richard Stanley, a director who was supposed to be like an up-and-comer. It just potentially destroyed the career of Fairuza Balk. She's very salty about it. Marlon Brando was a terror on the set. Like, it's like a 2-hour documentary about what a train wreck it was, and you will not believe the stuff that went on during the production of this. So if you're like a movie fan, you've got to look for this. It's amazing. Anyway, side thing over.
Focus.
Sorry,
focus.
I'm really big into film too, so it's, you know. All right, so that's the whole thing. So, they still test pilot batches of beers in their tasting rooms, which is good, because then, you know, they can end up adding new staples and monthly releases and all that jazz. Then they have, they were the first to, I wrote California's Fist, but actually California's first employee-owned brewery. They were California's first employee-owned brewery. And
that's cool.
I'll talk a little bit more about that after we do another beer.
I have giggles tonight. Well, I need a rinse.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought I already did that. My bad. This is because you made me drink during the day.
We
really didn't have much. We did 2 samplers that we each shared. So we each drank like 1 sampler. It's not that much. All right. So this beer is City of the Sun. And it is billed on their can as a hoppy, juicy IPA. And it is 7.6% alcohol. Now, the hops in this are Mosaic, Matueka, and Experimental Hop 07270.
Hmm.
People all about that 07270
yeah.
these days. And then the malts are 2-row, white wheat, and carabine. I don't know about carabine. Never heard of that. Get the sucker open. I am really hoping to smell that juice. Smell that juice.
Right. Not as much for me.
Okay, because you don't want to smell potential buttholes.
I'm so full.
Oh, you're getting full. We did eat some good food too. Okay, this one looks relatively clear. There's there's a little bit of a haziness to it, but it's pretty clear otherwise.
It's like yellow.
So
it's like a deep yellow.
I didn't want to be the first to say anything. I was just watching Rebecca sniff.
Why?
What? Go ahead.
It has the same stinky.
Well, I think it's that dank hoppiness. Like there's a
Why?
Good amount.
Modern times, you're doing me wrong.
There's a good amount of that kind of like dank smell that you were getting out of Blazing World, but there's also a decent bitterness in the nose, which is, you know, making part of that particular smell. Other than that, does it smell juicy to me? I get a lot of orange to it when I keep going past that bitterness.
Yes, I would agree with that.
There's good orange. There's a decent maltiness on there as well that's coming off as a little sweet.
I mean, if you get past some of that stinkiness, it smells better than the last one, for sure.
Yeah, and it starts, honestly, if you keep smelling, it starts really opening up. And that citrus starts becoming more robust. And it starts mixing in my nose really well with that roasty caramel from the malt. It smells good. I think it smells really good. Did it say there's mosaic in this? Okay, yeah. Because I was like, it smells like mosaic. Definitely smells more like mosaic than the Blazing World did. So I think that had mosaic, didn't it? Yes.
I'm just like chuckling knowing that these are named after utopias. Blazing World.
Named after utopias that didn't work. Obviously. Otherwise we would have heard of them.
Yeah. It's nice. It's kind of easy to drink. It's kind of benign. You know, like just...
For saying it's juicy, I feel like it's a lot easier than you would assume. I mean, I do feel like... There is a decent citrusiness in the flavor, but the thing is the body is lighter than you would assume for that type of citrusy flavor, so it kind of dissipates quickly.
Really? I don't think so. I think it has a juicy, voluptuous body.
Yeah, I mean, it's like a medium-low body to it. There, once again, there's a decent bitterness on the end, which I'm appreciating. I don't think it's as much as the Blazing World, bitterness-wise.
No.
It smelled like it would be more, but in tasting it, it's not more. But it's good. I like that level. It's nice. It's like, there's a decent amount of orange to it.
Yeah.
And it finishes with a little bit of a sugary sweetness, which, you know, a lot of times that turns me off with beer, but it's such that it's not too much. And I kind of like it with that.
I mean, it's a really easy to drink.
It is. And at, what, 7.6, almost 8%.
You don't taste it. I mean,
no, you don't. I mean, you would have think this is like 5, 5.5, 6.
Yeah.
So that's pretty good. Okay.
Okay, tell me more.
I will tell you more. So like I said, it was California's first employee-owned brewery. So from 2013 until 2017, they had like actual shares of the company that were owned by people. And Jacob McKean, the founder, the guy who started the Kickstarter, was the majority owner. But then in 2017, he decided, you know what? I think it would be a good idea to make this an employee-owned company. So he set about buying back all the shares and gave it to the employees. So an article I read from 2017, it's got to be different by this point. There have to be more because they've done some expanding. But at that point, there were 116 employees who were sharing in the company. So this is one of his quotes about making this move. It will strengthen, he's talking about his employees, it will strengthen their collaborative and creative culture, mm-hmm. help attract top quality new talent, and put a sustainable ownership structure in place that will help assure the independence of the company.
That's awesome.
I want to break that down because I agree with this statement. He says, it will strengthen their collaborative and creative culture. I think that's true because think about if you have an actual stake in something. You feel like you have control, you have buy-in. Instead of just going into a job and just putting in your time and walking out and you don't really own any of it, you're just like a cog in the wheel, like right. a cog in the machine. It doesn't feel personal. You don't feel invested so much.
Mm-hmm.
But with something like this where you're like, hey, I'm making more money.
This company does well.
Right, exactly. You're going to try harder. You're going to be more creative. You're going to come up with more stuff. You're going to put more into it. So I think that's very true. The next portion, it will help attract top quality new talent. Of course it will, because a person's earning ability in that instance is so much more. If you do a great job and your peers do a great job, you guys are getting paid.
I feel like it also, I would imagine, like, hold people accountable.
Yeah, and you would hold yourself more accountable then, but you would hold each other more accountable then. Definitely. And then it also said it would put a sustainable ownership structure in place that will help assure the independence of the company. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people own it at that point.
Also, I feel like it's just, I feel like also fosters teamwork. Like, mm-hmm. hey, I don't want you to struggle with your job because that obviously is going to affect me and the entire company. Like, let's work together to get shit done.
So I feel like this was destined to happen for Modern Times since it was started with that name, because it's kind of like a utopian company model.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Which Dogfish Head does it. Full Sail. Full Sail Brewing, I believe. They're somewhere on the West Coast. I wonder, they do it too, I believe.
I know we know more about this just because we like you delve into some of the, you know, breweries. But I wonder, are there any other business models like this, like outside of craft beer, that that are employee owned?
You know, I don't know. I can't recall having heard of any, but that doesn't mean they don't exist. And yeah, kind of like you were saying, I mainly know about it because I'm very plugged into craft beer and I look for information a lot on that. So yeah, I don't know. It's possible, but I haven't heard of any. So yeah, I just think it's awesome. Yeah. I think it's outstanding. I think it's smart for a business practice. I think it's great for the employees. It's just good for society mm-hmm. as well. There should be more of that type of stuff going on. Awesome. Good job, Modern Times. Good job, Jacob McKean. You're a visionary, sir. And then the last thing I'm going to say before we go to the final beer, and then after that final beer, I'll talk about the other beers they have. They're a coffee roaster as well.
Oh, really?
Yes. Can not that
buy
long.
Their beans?
You can.
Ooh.
So even if you can't get their beer in whatever market you're in, you can go to their website and directly from them purchase their coffee beans. So they roast their own coffee beans, and they even have some barrel-aged coffee beans.
Oh, man.
Yes. It's not always available. You'll just kind of have to monitor the website. And people, if you're into coffee and you've never had barrel-aged coffee before, kind of change your life as far as coffee goes. It's phenomenal. And
did you get a good one?
You don't have to look it up. No, there's no alcohol in your coffee then.
Right.
It's just flavors from the barrels. Trust me. As soon as we started that, I had to look it up because I was like, can I take this coffee to work? Because it smells like whiskey.
Well, yeah, because we just were drinking on the weekends. And then you're like, can we make this during the week? I'm like, I don't know.
Well, because I was concerned because I was like, first of all, is there alcohol in this? Can I take it to work? And then when I found out there wasn't, I was still concerned because I was like, it smells like whiskey. Like, it legit smells like whiskey. People are going to be like, oh, he's pouring whiskey in his coffee when he's at work. Don't want that problem.
I'll drink it again. Yeah. That could kind of be a cool episode if we could find
spirits to put in beer.
No, I was going to say
barrel-aged coffees.
Barrel-aged coffee or, like, breweries that roast their own coffee and kind of do a comparison.
Well, Modern Times the only one I know of, honestly, that roasts their own. But, yeah. So, people, hot tip. If you want to check out their coffee, really, really do that.
Hot tip.
Yeah. So,
okay.
We're going to do this beer, and then I'm going to talk about the beers they have available, because it's actually not a whole lot. As far as like their regular schedule stuff. So what's our final beer?
So our final beer is called Fruitlands.
Mm-hmm.
It is a sour tropical fruit goza.
Love it already.
It is with passion fruit and guava. And the malt are Pilsner and malted wheat.
Sounds good. What's ABV? It's up there.
Yeah. 4.8.
Oh yeah. That's usually goza territory. So I think I've also had this a long time ago. I think all these beers we've had, I've had before, except the City of the Sun. So, and as people will notice, the first three beers were hoppy, and then this is the only different one. One of the main reasons being that's kind of what's just available for us because they just showed up in our market.
There was one other one.
Black House, which is our coffee stout. But I didn't want to do that because on that On the Shelf episode, we did the nitro version of Black House. So I was like, let's do four that we've never had on the podcast before in any iteration.
Yeah.
So, okay. It looks really clear.
Yeah, very clear, very yellow.
Yellow, little tinge of orange, but pretty yellow. Smell?
It smells so good.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That smells amazing. That smells...
It's like... so fruity and so salty.
Oh. Yeah, there's a really nice salinity on the end of each smell.
It's making my tongue, like, tingle on the sides. Like, you can, it's so, like, tart.
Yeah, there's a lot of tartness. There's a really present lemon tartness.
Yes. I was gonna say lemon. I'm also, like, feeling, like, lime.
Okay. Yeah. I could definitely see the lime in there. I see what you're saying. I think part of that's because of people's association with lime and salt together.
Yeah. Well, because you, as soon as you were going to say lemon, and I was like, well, and then you said lemon. I'm like, maybe it's lemon, lime, lemon.
I definitely smell the passion fruit. I definitely smell the guava. Yes. I feel like the guava's stronger than the passion fruit. But I also feel like that's partially because guava is stronger as a fruit than passion fruit is. Passion fruit's a little more delicate. So I'll be interested to see what the flavor is. But this nose is awesome.
I mean, the nose smells exactly how
you want it to.
Like, picking up this beer and I'm like, okay, I should be smelling XYZ. And that's exactly what I'm getting.
And you get that wheat in there.
Right.
But it's not a lot, because there's that little hint of that cereal note, which a lot of times I have problems with. It's there, but it's just like a little bit on the end of each smell.
Okay.
You tasted?
Home run. It's exactly.
Oh, yeah. Ooh.
Really good. I wish there was a little bit more fruit presence.
Okay.
In the taste.
I think what takes that down a little bit is because that cereal, that Naked Cheerios note steps in kind of early at the end and kind of stomps it down. Because you get it.
Yeah.
But it's just not as long as you want it. But it's good.
I wonder if they did this with, like...
It's really good, though.
Instead of passion fruit, something else that would have a little bit more of a fruit characteristic.
Like mango?
Yeah, like... Well, maybe it could be like a mango and a guava.
Mango guava would be cool. Pineapple guava could be pretty good. So one of the great things about this is it smells really tart. It's not super tart. Like, there is a little tartness to it, and you then taste like that, the salt rounding out on the end. But it's just very smooth. It tastes very, like, soft and delicate.
It's drying, though. It's definitely drying in my palate.
It is drying, but I like it.
Yeah.
I like the drying quality.
I do too. It's not not bad by any means.
And that Naked Cheerios cereal note is at the end, but it starts to not be as present as you continue to sip it. And you start getting more of the fruit at that point. More of the, definitely guava. The passion fruit, you can get the passion fruit, but it's not, like we said, like, guava is way more dominant than passion fruit is. So you can get the passion fruit, but that guava is kind of like elbowing the passion fruit to step into the front.
I mean, I don't, to be honest, I'm not sure if I really know what passion fruit is.
We've seen it enough on the Great British Baking Show.
We have.
They use it a lot on that show. It's nuts. It's like in almost.
I feel like I definitely know what guava.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely know guava. I know what passion fruit looks like on the...
Yeah.
Have I had it?
Well, I mean, you've had beers with passion fruit straight up, so based off that. But I guess it's been a while.
Right, but I mean...
Because if you remember, there was a time, a short stint of time, that, like, all these breweries were using passion fruit.
Yeah, it was like the hot thing.
I was, like, vocally against it on the podcast at that time, too, because I was just like, why does everyone feel like they need to do passion fruit? This is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Because it was, like, overkill. But I like this beer a lot.
Yeah, I do too.
It's very tasty. I'm down. Okay, so let me, while you continue to sip on that, and you might want to sip the other ones, too, to get your order in order.
I got it. My order is all up in there.
Okay, I'm going to need a little bit.
It's all up in my head.
So, here are their core beers. These are the ones that are year-round, always available. Obviously, Fortunate Islands, their Hoppy Wheat Pale Ale. Black House, which is their coffee style, which we talked about. The Blazing World, which we had, which was their Hoppy Amber. Orderville, which is a hazy mosaic IPA, and I don't believe I've ever had that. Then Fruitlands, their passion fruit guava goza, which we're drinking right now, and then their Ice, which is a German Pilsner.
Aww.
And I can tell you, I've had it when I was down in Washington, D.C. with some buddies at a pizza joint. They had it on tap, and I was like, I'm going to try that because it's modern times. That's a nice Pils.
Yeah.
It's a very nice Pils. Okay, cool. So they're seasonal beers. And here's the other thing, just to know going into this. When it says something like a specific beer, like the Orderville, I mean specific hop, like the Orderville says Hazy Mosaic IPA, there are other hops in there.
Mm.
It's just Mosaic is the main hop.
The showcase.
So just know that.
The star.
So they're seasonals. Booming Rollers is a Citra IPA. Critical Band is a Juicy Tropical IPA. Spaceways, which is a Hazy Nelson Sauvin IPA.
Hmm.
And City of the Sun, which we have here, which is a Juicy IPA. So real quick, Booming Rollers, the Citra IPA, is available March through May. Critical Band, the Juicy Tropical IPA, is available June through August. Spaceways Hazy Nelson Sauvin IPA is available September through November. And then City of the Sun Juicy IPA available December through February. Now going on to the monthly special releases. Mm. And I'll tell you up front as I tell you what they are when they're available.
Okay.
So should have done that for the seasonal. Sorry, my fault. So for January to February, the Black House Nitro with coffee, coconut, and cocoa. We had that on, actually, I think I was recording by myself on the shelf, but you tried it afterwards.
It was delicious.
Yeah, it was crazy delicious. So go back and listen to that episode. Available March through April is Dream Speaker, which is a Citra and Motueka Hazy IPA.
Hmm.
Then between May and June is their Telesto, which is an Amarillo and Simcoe Rye IPA. Want to get my hands on that?
Yeah.
Then available July through August is, Rebecca's going to want this.
What is it?
Fruitlands Rosé Edition.
Oh, this rosé?
Which is their Goza with cherries, raspberries, cranberries, and lemons.
Yes.
That sounds great. We need to see if we can get that. That's, take note, July through August.
My birthday.
Okay, yeah, your birthday. September through October is Ghost Mountain, which is a Nelson Sauvin and Eldorado and Equinot Harry Hazy IPA. I'm sorry.
Are you drunk?
No, I'm tired, unfortunately. Sorry. Nelson Sauvin, Eldorado, and Equinot Hazy IPA, not Harry IPA. Then the final one.
The new trend.
Then the final one, you're also going to want this one. Available November through December is their Octagon City. It is a Berliner Weiss with red raspberries, black raspberries, and guava.
Oh, that does sound really good.
So honestly, of those, obviously the Nitro Black House is phenomenal, but I think the sours sound the best, in my opinion.
They don't do a lot of dark beers.
No, they do not. They certainly do not. Well, and they also don't do, at least not released in cans, they don't do a wide variety of stuff.
Yeah.
It's mainly like, here's hoppy stuff, here's sour.
Like light sour.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
Probably not like rip your face off sour.
Well, and like they say, session-ish.
Yeah, exactly.
It sounds like none of their beers are like 8% or above.
Yeah. That's you know? Cool. I'm down with that.
Yeah. I mean, that's a legit thing.
I'm DTD, down to drink.
Down to drink stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you said, well, first of all, your thoughts on Modern Times overall, now that you know this stuff about it and tried
these beers. Cool, I like it. Yeah. I feel like you, like, love them.
I really love them. Like, I quite like their beer. Everything I've had from them I quite like. And some things I, like, really, really like that Nitro Black House was just like, oh my god, I need more of that. This Fruitlands is really killing it. But they're just who they are. And their business practices and stuff like that makes me like a massive fan. I just love that.
Can we just talk about like what utopia do you think you would like to live like?
Based off the name or based off how the beer tastes?
No, just the name. Fortunate Islands, Blazing World, City of the Sun, or Fruitlands?
Based on just the name?
Yeah.
Well, Blazing World sounds like it's a bad time. And so does City of the Sun, because I'm very pasty white.
Oh, you are pasty
white. So that's not going to go well. Fortunate Islands and Fruitlands both sound pretty good to me. Fortunate Islands means you are a very fortunate person, pretty much. But Fruitlands means, like, bountiful food and everything. Mm-hmm. I think I got to go Fruitlands for that reason, because I feel like that says to me that food will be plentiful.
See, I feel like Blazing World makes me think of cowboys.
Okay, like Blazing Saddles, yeah. I guess.
See, I was leaning more towards Fortunate Islands or City of the Sun.
Okay.
I feel like they're like very inviting, like exclusive. Okay.
Yeah. So I now, while you were going over this, which good time user, I like that question, by the way. No, I mean, like, it was something that was really interesting we could talk about while sipped more of the beer. Okay. So it worked really well. And keep that kind of stuff coming is what I'm saying, because it was fun. Anyway, so...
I'm so fun.
I finally know my order. Do you know your order? You can go first if you want, or I can go first if you want me to. I don't care.
Go ahead.
Okay. So my number four is going to be the Blazing World. I do like it, but of what's here, I'm least interested in it.
I'm sticking out my tongue at it.
Okay. I'm going to say my number three is the Fortunate Islands. That's my number three. That's good. It's nice. It's light. It's tasty. Then my number two is the City of the Sun. I like that. I like the kind of like blood orange that I said I was... Did I say I was getting blood orange on that one?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I like that kind of... I like...
Or were you getting blood orange off the...
No, I think I was getting blood orange off the Blazing World. What I like about the City of the Sun is the balance between, like, the maltiness and the hoppiness. I just really like that, and there's some citrus coming through in it, which is really nice. So, obviously, my favorite, number one, is the Fruitlands, the Gozo with passion fruit and guava. If you guys couldn't tell, you haven't been listening to this podcast long enough, that was going to be the favorite. I mean, and I'm going to guess it was your favorite, too.
Yeah. I mean, Blazing World is definitely at the bottom.
Yeah.
Fruitlands is...
So that's number four. What's your number three, then?
Well, hold on. I do my own thing. Blazing World is definitely bottom.
Okay.
And then Fruitlands is definitely at the top. Okay. And then, you know, I feel... I do have the same order as you, but I feel like the middle two are very close for me. You know, like, I feel like there's a clear number one, a clear last, and the two in the middle, like...
I agree with that. For me, I felt like two and three were more clear... placement wise, but I agree with you that of all the beers together, two and three, the City of the Sun and Fortunate Islands were the closest to each other taste wise. So, you know, anyway, nice. Yeah. Modern Times. Keep it up, you guys. Please send your special releases, your monthly special releases to Maryland. We will buy them all.
Drink them up.
Yeah. We'll get it. Also, your seasonals, please, and yeah. I mean, we like your cores, obviously, but if you have to choose what you're sending to Maryland, please seasonals and monthly special release. Please, please, please. Honestly, if people from Modern Times hear this and they just want to send us free beer, we can do that. Literally, we will do an entire episode of just drinking the beers you sent us. And we'll just talk about Modern Times again.
We can do it.
We'll just be like, we love Modern Times, and this is why, because they sent us these beers. Let's taste them. They're awesome.
Yeah, and then we'll talk about where Utopia we're going to live in, I guess.
Yeah, we'll redo that one. Because other than what we talked about, I think Spaceways sounds cool.
Spaceways.
Booming Rollers. Mm. Does that sound like a good time? I do not like the sound of Orderville, though.
Orderville.
That sounds like everyone has to be in order, and everything has to be in order, and it's just, it sounds like a lot of rules.
Yeah.
I'm not down with a lot of rules there.
I mean...
Utopia.
Yeah, no.
You can't have a shit ton of rules if it's a utopia.
Well...
You can have rules, but not like, you know, like don't kill people. Like, that's a good rule.
Right, like don't be an asshole.
Yeah, that's another good rule that we should all abide by, actually. Anyway... We're good. We're done. This was fun. I'm going to have fun drinking these beers. But until next time,
keep it brutal.
This has been a Nerd Circle podcast production.